Hello, and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Elza Wisniewskita, and today I am joined by a dancer, scene leader, community builder, event organizer, an international judge from Seoul, South Korea, Nala Kim. We sit down to chat about the beginning of his dance life, of starting to organize events in Seoul, bringing international instructors, musicians, and also building the community that, if you have ever been or heard, it's one of the most vibrant scenes. We also talk about personal style, developing your voice as a dancer, and judging competitions. The first time I've met Nala was in LHC. That was at the time still happening in Washington, D.C. He's one of the judges in the event. So I had some questions about the choices that he makes, the priorities and values that he tries to put forward. And in the end, how tricky it can be to judge an art form of dance. Finally, Nala shares about his personal life, work and dance balance, the reason why he keeps his dance life a secret from his daytime job. In a way, he's a secret double agent. And he shares a few funny stories of how he almost got caught dancing by his colleagues. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. And without further ado, put your hands together for Nala Kim. How have you been?
Yeah, it's been very busy January because of the Authentic Jazz Weekend. So like 2 weeks ago. So it was busy. And I felt like lots of inspiration. And actually, the last 2-3 years, maybe all the dancers around the world, I think maybe they don't really have a chance to dance a lot, or maybe they go back to another job or regular job, not really focusing on the dancing. It was the same to me. But after the Authentic Jazz Weekend this year, I feel like full of the inspiration and really feels, I mean, energy again, and I like to dance more and teach more, perform more. Yeah, that's my feeling right now. So
amazing.
Yeah, it was a good starting of the year.
I've seen a few videos from Authentic Jazz Weekend and it looked amazing. It looked like I wanted to be there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel a change this year and from the previous years, let's say before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it was 2020, so it's 3 years ago. I don't really feel that huge difference. I mean, there's still many dancers remain in the scene, and still many the top dancers in Korea, they're really pushing. Even the pandemic, they still working hard and practice some video graphic or many performances they choreographed during the pandemic. So I didn't really feel like lots of difference, actually. Just one big difference is we all have a mask during the party. Maybe that's the, it's not easy to see all the people, the face and expression, but still, I feel energy. And what's good year, I think. There are many good pieces.
How many years have the festival been going before that?
Oh, actually, we start the event from the 2013. This year was the 9th year, and next year you're going to be the 10th anniversary. Yeah.
Right. I think we still don't have that many solo jazz weekends. What was the motivation behind doing like a only Authentic Jazz Weekend?
I think that I'm not the only organizer. As my team, we are together, we are co-organizer, the team Sweetheart, we are going together. Actually, my team compete at the IHC 2011 and 12. At that time, we are more like the competing and dancing. We are more focusing on Lindy Hop. And after 2 years traveling to IHC, imagine like the 4 or 5 couple travel to US. It costs a lot. And, you know, sometimes it's really tired to prepare new choreo for New Year. So we change our mind, and then how about bringing instructor to Korea instead of the we fly to other country? So that's the first motivation. So let's do something together in Korea. And we want to learn Lindy Hop, or we want to learn something we are not really good at. So at that time, we think the authentic jazz is, we are not really good at, and we didn't really know many things about the authentic jazz. Yeah, so that is another motivation. And maybe the next one is, at that time, there's an event in US, Stompology. I think the Andy and Aileen, the one of the co-organizer, our team, maybe you know the Andy Saw. And yeah, he also visited he been the Stompology before, and also his wife and partner, she also been the Stompology before. And then we got really hooked by the Laura Glaze's performance at that time. It's 2012. And she performed a number with Michael Faulty, and it was really, really inspired. And we just, hooked by that performance. And then, let's do this. And then we just send message to Laura Glaze. And that's the first thing. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Korea being so far away, let's say from Europe or US, when you're organizing, you're bringing these people, maybe bands or dancers to the dance scene in Korea. How do you make the choice for Authentic Jazz Weekend, or in general for all the things you organize?
I think I've organized a different event, but firstly, Authentic Jazz Weekend is the most difficult to choose the instructor. So we have a voting system. So all the people doing vote to some their favorite instructor. So we're doing that every year. But all the time, we really discuss a lot about the new instructor or previous instructor. So last of the argument. But anyways, I respect other people's opinion, other organizers' opinions. So we really respect each other. So if we decide, and we just decide together. But other event, what I did, for example, like Seoul Indie Fest. So that's just this is just my event. I am main organizer, so I can decide the all instructor. So I usually see the new combinations. If there are two couple instructors, if they're really friendly each other, or I've seen that combination a lot in other events, maybe I try to not really bring them. Maybe I try to find a different combination and give some chance to the instructor to collaborate with others. And that was another things I'd like to see more in the scene. Yeah. So that's, and also the dancer who I like to dance like someone. And then if I really get inspired by some dancers, maybe that's what I want to bring.
What are the biggest challenges for you as organizer?
I like to run event for a long time, not just one event for just 1 year. Authentic Jazz Weekend is the same. But if you're doing for a long time, you need to think about you need to have many students and people who want to come to the event. But at the same time, we all want to bring someone who we like. Sometimes it's the same, but sometimes it's not really the same. People like some famous dancers, famous instructor who've been show up a lot in YouTube or competition, but sometimes we like some dancer, not really show up at the competition, but really valuable dancer. For example, Nathan View. Maybe it's not easy to find his video, or he attended some competition, but not really a lot of competition. Yeah, few competition he attend, but it's still, we think there are some instructor and dancers really great, but they just don't really want to join competition. Yeah, Harlem Hotshot also similar. Maybe Hotshot, they perform, but not really compete. So some dancer I like to bring, those kind of dancer.
Yeah. I also want to touch upon the energy in the scene in Seoul, and I've seen in Busan. There's something about the dancers in Korea that is just, people have so much energy and it's so, like, the vibe is so good in every party, it seems. And I don't know how and why, but it seems like people really are able to enjoy and kind of let go, party, express themselves, support others. Is it something that you needed to create and foster as an environment, or was it always just there?
I think though, when you came to Korea, maybe because of the you, it became very special night. So people has a good vibe because people like to see the new friends, the new instructor, new dancer, new styles. Yeah, people like to see, and the people like to supporting. Yeah, so that can be one reason. And I think that here, I think there are still, you know, in the business world, you know, everywhere there are some competition, and that makes some positive energy. Sometimes that makes some negative energy. But I think overall in Korea, I think many of the swing venue is independent. We have an independent owner that has the swing venue. They run swing venue, and there are some teachers. Teachers are independent, and there's many nonprofit, the community. And there are some academies. There's many different type of the organization, but it's generally they are really, I mean, more supportive of each other, not really competing each other. So people can go any venues they like to go. And sometimes student of the Suchan or student of the ND come to my class, or my student go to other teachers' class. It's more like inclusive and open to others. So I think that makes more like supportive environment, and most of the instructors really friendly to each other. So I think that also helped a lot. And yeah, so I think that's can be one reason.
Mm. I have a theory that is not scientifically based, but I do feel that because people go out for food and drinks so often, it seems that that's just a thing. People always go to eat some fried chicken, drink some beers. I have a feeling that that has to do something with the community.
Yeah, I think that really helps a lot. I think after party, I think beer, chicken, yeah, always. Yeah, during the pandemic, maybe that changed a little bit because many of the restaurants closed around 9:30 or 10 p.m. So after dancing, maybe there's no place to go, but these days are getting better. I think most of the restaurants still open after the social dancing. So I think, yeah, surely that helps a lot. And I mean, people talk each other, and not just about the dancing. Maybe they just talk about whatever they like to do. But yeah, they really help. Yeah.
I think that's a difference, and that's a challenge in some communities, at least in Europe, especially like Central, Northern Europe, where the weather is colder. People just go to class and then you want to go home. And then, you know, there's not so much of this after party. Let's go eat all together, drink. It's just a little bit different. And I think it makes it a bit harder for people to feel a part of community and not only come for the dance class itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe it is because of culture thing. Is that some Korean people usually share food. There's a shared plate. If you go to the restaurant, there are many kimchi or some soup you share with others. So I think the culturally, I think that we have some kind of the things, share something and then eat something together.
I also, I wonder about the style. Have you seen the style or the way people approach the dance change in Korea over the last years?
I think the people still like, some people approach dance as like run something in the academy. It's like the Suchan, the academy. So different style. But still, the most of people, the approach and the run or know about distance from their friends. So it's kind of the pyramid. Still, like, people introduce distance to others. So that's the, I think, the main, I mean, stream, the how people they're getting, you know, because of the, if we turn on the TV, it's really hard to see string dance on the TV. So it's not easy to, or even like the, there are some jazz band, but not many swinging band in Korea. So it's really hard to know about the distance. So,
And even I think what's valued in the dance, I mean, it has changed over the years. I started dancing when technique was the biggest thing. That was the main value of the dance. Everything was very, very technical. And then you had a little bit of improvisation and I guess freedom as a follower. Over the years, that changed into way more freedom, way more expression, and also maybe more like kind of jazz infused dancing. Do you see the values also change in your local scene?
Yeah, when I started dancing, it was like 16, 17 years ago. At that time, people liked to mimic, copy some instructor. So there were many Skies, many Frida, many Nina, as many Silver Shadow copycat here in Korea. That was like 16, 17 years ago. But at some point that people start to see some old timer, or who's a Frankie Manning, Al Leon, or many Willame, or some old timer. The Jim Vellos passed away a few days ago, but anyway, Jim Vellos or Dean Juul, many old timer people try to study a little bit about the old timer. So it's and learn some solo jazz and some different source they try to learn, not just from the modern instructor or a famous instructor. They try to find different sources, and or Korean instructor also study more about that. And that helps a lot. So the more different style and people show their personality in the dance. So more like copy or mimic or just a follow to the modern instructor, and it changed to the all different sources, and that helped a lot. And these days, more expression, I think, definitely. And also some, the mix with the many solo jazz. And yeah, but still, compare with the dancers in US or Europe, I mean, it, because of the, is people here a little more good at technique, I think. So that's my thought, opinion. Yeah.
I mean, I do also feel that an average dancer puts quite a lot of hours. Like I feel that people take it quite seriously. Like it's not maybe 1 hour per week class. I had a feeling that most of the people take classes, they go to social. So the amount you get to practice is way more than an average dancer, I guess, in Europe.
I think Korean people, Korean dancers are good at learning. And they know how to practice. Yeah, they're really good at that, because it's, and also the attitude at the class, I think, is very, when I travel and teach in different countries, I think the Korean student is really good at the, I mean, they're really focused and they're really, really eager to learn. Yeah, that's my feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, I had that feeling too, that people are really there with a purpose, not so much as only being entertained, but learning is like a big part of it.
Yeah. I think so.
How did you discover your own style, or how is that process for you personally?
Wow, it's really still is one of my big homework. Maybe I studied a lot about like modern instructor. I mimic lots of the different dancers in my beginning of my career. And then there's just a try to do like some Frankie style or Dean sort of style. So I study a lot, but I didn't really feel like, do I really have my own style? That's one of my big question for me. Yeah, but I feel I just try to face my own style. And then even I'm not that like outgoing or like I don't really have a good at like facial expression, but I try to be like the more comfortable, even that's not that perfect for, I mean, perfect, but I try to be, I mean, face myself. Yeah, that's, I still try to find my style. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long process, right?
Yeah, it's really long, long process.
What are you excited to work on now in the dance?
Yeah, I think that I'm, as I said, during the pandemic, I think I didn't really, I mean, the first year, like the 2020, it's the beginning of the pandemic, I still teach aerial or solo jazz. I did that for first year of the pandemic. And the second year, maybe I really slowed down a lot. I think I didn't really did lots of the regular class, maybe just a few classes a week or a month, something like that. So, and I didn't really the social dancing a lot during the pandemic. So, but these days I just slowly getting back to like the, like before. So I still need to, I mean, I don't think I'm really come back like 100%. I think the, it's not really good as much as I did before. So sometimes, you know, I try to find my own video, what I taught before, or what I, my dance video before, or I just try to see, I look back myself, what I did. And then I try to get that first. And then maybe I can move on for the next. Yeah, because I feel I lost a lot of the memory or, yeah, something. Yeah, that's my feeling.
Right, yeah, now. I forget so much. Sometimes people come to me, they show me a video of what I taught or what me and Peter taught. And I have to look at the video and I'm like, wow, that's pretty nice. I like this. Yeah. I don't remember anything. I could not teach it again. I have to relearn it myself.
Same thing. It's even I choreo some pieces. I didn't really remember anything. It's my friend just said, yeah, so you're choreographing. Really? It's, yeah, that was really nice. No. Yeah.
You said you started dancing 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Was it in Seoul, in Korea? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's how, 2006, July.
You even remember the month?
Yeah, because it's a summer. Yeah, I remember that.
How did you discover it?
Yeah, I think I have one friends actually. At that time, I was a programmer, and then he also a programmer. And then he is a guy, kind of guy, like never smile. He's just always very serious. So I never seen his real smile in the real world. But at that time, there was kind of the social media, like the Facebook. Before the Facebook, there is a kind of the Korean version of the Facebook. And there is a picture of him. Then he's a really big smile in the picture. And I felt like really weird. I've never seen this kind of the smile of him. So I asked him, what are you doing here? And then he said that is a swing dance. And I felt like, wow, it must be super fun because I've never seen this much. So, and then that's the beginning, yeah, of my journey. And I asked where I can go, I can learn. And then, yeah, it was like underground. All the swing studio in Korea, the venue is underground. So it's just underground. And then there are lots of people in there. And then people like the grab hand each other. And, you know, I had a kind of the like skinship or like grab other women's hand before without my mom or girlfriend. So it's really, you know, it's really challenging to grab someone's the hand or sometime, you know, close position or some other position. Is I feel like really nervous and I was really like shy and, you know, it was really changed. If when people say, the teacher said, the change partner, and I feel like, oh, I feel, you know.
Yeah.
I was a college student that time. Yeah, I know.
But did dance change you as a person? Because you don't seem as shy today.
Oh, yeah. It's lots of change, I think. I was a moral. I didn't really shy general, but I am maybe I'm not that comfortable at that time as grab some other woman's hand or something. But anyway, it helps a lot, I think. And then I travel a lot because of the dancing. I have many friends like you and all over the world. I never imagined when I start dancing. Yeah, I never imagined. And maybe my English is getting better after a year. That also helps a lot for many things. So anyway, it changed. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Yeah. And at what point did you become a teacher and also building a community? How did that happen, the transition?
I think maybe I'm more like a student in 2006 to 2008. I think 2008, I met Jessica. And we compete together at one of the biggest Korean Korea event. The name is Korea Swing Festival and Korea Swing Championship, something like that. And then we joined a competition together and then we won second place. And it's most of the finalists and the dancers were instructor at that time. We are the only the dancer who don't really teach at that time. Yeah, so, and that is one motivation. Maybe I had the discussion with Jessica. Maybe we want the fast Lindy division and maybe we can teach fast Lindy. Maybe we are good at that. So we start from there and we went to Harang in same year, 2008, and learned a lot at the Harang. And yeah, and then I thinking that somehow I'm going to teach, and also I got a lot of inspiration from the many teachers in Harang. So that's maybe kind of the transition. Yeah, and after that, yeah, I like to compete in abroad, and I also went to several swing dance events in other countries, and I felt like there were many good Korean instructors there, but I can see the many different styles over there. And or some original style or some dancer no history. So I think I see some different value from the or different instructor. So I try to learn more and then I want to share that to Korean dancer. That's maybe the thing. And after that, I want to do some team performance together with some Korean dancer and competing at the IHTC. So I try to gather some people and then that's kind of the beginning of the hill. And then it's getting bigger, faster. And yeah.
Mm. And I want to ask you about kind of the work and dance life balance. I know that in your work, not many people know that you dance.
Yeah, it's nobody. Nobody know that I'm a dancer, but maybe it's a people not really interested in, because it's a really different world. I think I'm working at the petrochemical company and I'm a business developer. So I think they're not really interested in any kind of hobby. Like maybe they're like to know if they go golf or some other hobbies. Most of people doing golf in my industry but they don't really interest in dancing. So nobody asked me about dancing, so I don't really want to disclose some of my top secret. And you know, it's not really just a hobby for me. It's a more like I can say it's a semi-professional or something more than hobby, I think. And maybe I think I'm not a junior person employee in company. I mean, I'm already team leader and I have many people working together. So but at the like the 10 years ago when I was like a junior employee and junior the manager or something, and at that time I didn't really spend lots of time for work. I spent lots of time for watching video. Even I'm at office or sometime I discuss something with my friends. Actually Andy used to work in the same company, so we went to the meeting room together and then discuss about the authentic Jesuit and how we're going to make this even better. And that's our discussion. And all other people outside of the room, maybe they think, oh, they have some discussion and working very hard. But you know, Yeah, I didn't really like full committed to my regular job at that time. These days it changed a lot because, getting old, I have many people, junior people, so I need to take care of them. So
yeah, you're like a bit of a Superman. Your day job, and then by night you just put on your cape and you fly, dance.
Yeah, I did that like when I was 10 years ago, I can say. Because at that time, I also working in another city is like the 1.5 hour by train, express train. So it like I travel like every 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, I travel to another city for work. And then come back from the work. I get up like the 5 a.m. something and then go work and then come back home like 8 p.m. and then go dancing or teaching and then after party. And it's like over the midnight, I go sleep and then wake up 5 a.m. again and then doing this for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. At the time, I really like, I mean, I choreo a lot of my, the performance or team performance or teaching material in the train. In between the car, there is some space, if the train is connected and there is some space in between.
Yeah.
I did some like, dancing, Lindy and choreo and listen music. And maybe some people thought, oh, this crazy guy is doing something in the middle of the train, I think.
It's the train dancer again.
Yeah. but no time for choreo, so.
But what would happen if people at work knew you also do dancing as such a big part of your life? Do you think those two worlds should not collide?
I think it just, I don't want to, some like conservative, like old people, maybe they don't really like their employee has a like hobby or like escape office or like just, earlier than others, or maybe they want to see an employee more like dedicate their job. So, but sometimes, I go dancing after the work, but sometimes I just go home, not just for the rest. But people think just like maybe he go dancing. Maybe I don't want to do, I don't want to have that kind of the like misjudge or misunderstanding or something. So,
yeah.
So that is the reason I don't really disclose everything about my personal things. Yeah.
Was there ever a moment where your coworkers almost saw you dancing?
Actually, there are several times, actually, but they didn't really knew that that is dancing, because in the meeting room, I did the shorty judge in the meeting room. Is it false? I just had some thought. So I did some shorty judge with some other jazz step, but people thought I was sick. So he was my boss at the time. He said, "Oh, you'd better go home. Maybe you look very sick." And actually, I went back home. Yeah, that happened.
Oh, and what a compliment for the dance!
It's true. Yeah, and there was a really big, huge jazz festival in Korea. Is a Jarasam Jazz Festival. Actually, the Hallemash have been there before. Anyway, that's a big festival. And I choreo the kind of the very easy jazz choreo. It's very easy. Just there is some knee slap and the trunking. It's just very easy jazz step. And because it happened in the fall, and the people just staying outside and just watching, and then they're watching the concert or jazz, the fest, maybe they're going to be getting colder. So the organizer of the event asked me the choreo for some jazz. And then we had a big screen in the front and people follow me. And I was there, and then some of our colleagues were there. But they did that jazz step and follow me, but they didn't really know that was me. They never imagine me as I teach some dance jazz steps. So that was happening. So I was really surprised. Yeah.
So they learned from you, but they didn't know it was you.
Yeah. Because it's just lots of people, and then just a big screen. Maybe that isn't not easy to recognize. Maybe I wear like some weird things for them. Maybe, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I also wanted to talk a little bit about judging. I met you, the first time I think we've met was in LHC, and you were judging quite a few comps. How's your approach to judging? And do you find it easy? Do you enjoy it?
Sometimes I enjoy because I have a really good seat and best seat in the house.
That's
the best good thing. That's the best thing for, I mean for judges, but it's really hard, you know. It's when you see some art pieces, is a Mona Lisa there, and another pieces by like some other painter, maybe it's really hard to judge. Or if you see the soccer player and basketball player and they do something together, and then you need to choose one player. So it's really hard. I think it's not really our dance art form is not really, I mean, there's no standard. It's just a personal styles. So it's really hard to judge, but maybe there are some common things we think is really valuable, like maybe improvisation, communication, rhythm, or creativity, or musicality, partnership, or there are many common things, whatever style, maybe they, or many people think it's important, it's valuable for this dance. Maybe I try to follow that idea and when I watched other dancers. Yeah, and also there's some quality, maybe. But sometimes, you know, it's kind of the trade-off. If you value this a lot, maybe other things that go down. So maybe you need to make some good balance. So that also the another part. But anyways, it's not just a math, or it's not just, I try to be honest to myself when I see something. Yeah.
Do you ever have this feeling where in theory, there's one, maybe couple or one dancer that is like the winner for you, but then your feeling for who's supposed to win is about another dancer, another couple.
So as a dancer, I like the specific style or specific dancer. And sometimes I don't like another dancer. Maybe I don't, before the competition, maybe, well, I don't want to give them first place. That's not my style. As a dancer, I do this kind of thing a lot. But when I judge, I try to be honest to myself. I try to be, even there's my friend or even Jessica's there, I try to be fair for everyone. I just try to become like nobody, no, or I don't know anyone. So that's the thing. And when the judges, sometimes it changed. Before the competition, I said, oh, I don't want to give them first place. But after competition, well, it's impossible to give them second place because they're just too good, just perfect for me at that moment. Mm-hmm. So it's changed, you know. As I said, as a dancer, as a judge, sometimes it's different. Like, I think that the Felipe or some other dancer described like this way. There is you really like hamburger. There is a hamburger, but it's really like, it's not really the perfect hamburger, but you like hamburger. But there is a bibimbap. You don't like bibimbap, but it's just super good quality bibimbap. So you like hamburger, but that's not perfect. But there's a bibimbap, but perfect. But you know, it happened when I judge. So
it's
really hard. Yeah, it's not easy to say this gonna be win or this gonna be lose. It's, I don't know. Maybe sometimes I try to do repeating, after the competition at the IHC, I come back home and then I watch again the old video, what I judge it. And then I judge it. I try to judge it again, but it changed. So,
it's different, right? Yeah, seeing the same competition online, you can have completely different results than seeing something live.
Yeah, sometimes it's a similar, but sometimes it's a totally different. Yeah, I thought I was watching every moment at the IHC, but when I come back to home and then I see the video, I missed a lot. I cannot see everything at the moment. Yeah, even just one couple, I cannot see their all arms, foot, their facial expression. I cannot see everything. Yeah, I thought I watched everything, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's also, especially at IHC, you can see this when you put all the results. Some couples have, you know, first places and then last places in same competition from judges. And that, for me, that's like the most interesting thing because, like, I think I would take it as a compliment. I feel like it's a good thing to be really liked, but also to be disliked by someone. It means, I think you have something quite specific, right? But it's interesting to see those disparities in results.
Yeah, it happened. I mean, I attended the event the last November. It's a Babua event. I think I attended as a competitor. And there were like the three or four judges. I'm not sure the three or four. As one judge gave me first place. So Andres gave me first place. I'm very happy for that. But Olga gave me the last place. I like dancing with Olga. But I think, well, yeah, it's, you know, it happened. I totally understand that. I mean, all the people, I mean, as I said, the judge cannot see everything. It's, I think sometimes see the leader or follower, their food dog or whatever, something happened. It's, you know, it's cannot easy to whole picture. And sometimes just a feeling, you know, is or not just about the technique or if they look like nervous or they look like very confident. Yet all the signal just, I mean, lots of the information come through the eyes and the feeling. And so, you know, it's impossible to, I mean, so, and all the judges has their own opinion, own values. So there's a reason we have many judges, not just one or two.
When you judged an LHC, would you discuss it with other judges or it would be more personal results?
It's more personal. I think after the competition or after the specific division, we have some discussion. Actually, maybe several years ago, we have some kind of the hashtag Impro Respect something. Like the people, I mean, many judges a little disappointed to, like the most of the dancer had a choreo. I think it looked like nobody did improvisation. It's just most of the majority of competitor just did the choreo at the strictly. And I think at that year open division, the dancer did the improvisation, and then most of judges said, well, open division were way much better than other division, even their quality of dancing or their technique is not that perfect, but they have were really good at, I mean, the feeling when people improvise, that energy or some unexpected things, and then musical, I think, we had this kind of discussion. So after that, we are really getting trouble because it's getting more harder, you know. As I said, I mean, I like the hamburger. I like improvisation, but it's not really good quality of the improvisation. And then I hate just choreo at the strictly, but that was just really good.
If you are, let's say, the only couple that goes and improvises, even in a strictly on a fast tempo, your dancing will be probably less impressive than a choreo because it's fast tempo. It's tricky.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you will stay truth to maybe wanting to improvise. But it's a hard balance to compete in those two.
Yeah, and also it's really hard to say, wow, that was the improvisation or that was choreo. because there are some very professional dancers, there are some good dancers, they do improvised aerial or trick. Yeah, so judges cannot really say this is improvisation or choreo. That happened because I thought I give a couple, like the not just the first place, I maybe at that competition, I cannot say the exact name, but I give them like the fourth place or something, but most of the other judges give them first place. And then maybe that the competitors come to me and then what happened? Because all other judges give them the first place. I'm maybe only judges give them, not really first place. Maybe they just want to listen to my thought. And I said, I thought your dancing is really perfect, but it's look like just choreo. But they said, there's no choreo in doing the dance. It was just improvised aerial or improvised. Yeah, so because they're too good. So sometimes it's, you know, it's not really easy to judge or easy to, yeah.
Yeah. Do many people come ask you for feedback after a competition?
Yeah, some people ask me. And yeah, so, and especially the, at, you know, you remember the, there's a IDHC after the event, there's a like score, the board. And then when I worked there, I also really wonder other judges' opinion. And then I try to see, and then people try to ask me the, what do you think about their dancing? Or, I mean, I'm happy for, I mean, help them if the, if my, the feedback is helpful. Yeah, so I try to be honest and then try to say what I thought or, yeah.
It's interesting because I think that definitely feedback can be good and you can hear some advice that can really help you. But at some point, as even as a judge, you are giving your preferences. The only feedback that you give is how you would do it, right? And then
it's true.
It's also not to be taken too literal. Yeah. Like it's not how necessarily other people will have to do it.
Yeah. It's just my opinion or my preference, as you said. So yeah, I think you know your dance better than me. You know, so all the personal, all the dancer, they know their style, they know their technique, they know their mistake, they know their good thing or bad thing. But sometimes they just need to have a kind of the cold eye or some other people just a check with the compare with the, their own thought and idea, and then with the, some other people. Maybe their most of the, their friend maybe cannot be very honest because their friends don't want to make them like disappoint or something. So I try to be honest if I see something weird or maybe they can improve. I try to be honest and then I just talk to them. Maybe that can be helpful. Yeah.
What's the best advice you have received in your dance career life?
I think try to find the my style. Maybe that's the one thing the kind of the best feedback. And some my friends, they said they see some other dancers' style from the my dancing. So they see, oh, maybe you can do better than this style. Maybe you can try to find some other style or my own style. So those feedback was really helpful. And another thing is Ramona. Ramona said, like, nobody can judge my dancing. I mean, Ramona's dancing. Because only the person who can judge their dance is themselves. So don't think too much about others. Just go your style. Just do what you like to do. So maybe that also helpful. Yeah. Mm.
I wish there was more of that attitude in all of us and myself included of, we have so many competitions. Almost every weekend has a competition. And I feel that there's still too much importance being placed on the results, on who made it to finals, who didn't make it to finals. And there's still a lot of self-worth as a dancer attached to the competitions. And I wish there was more of this. No one can really judge me as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't know how to get there as a community.
Yeah, it's really hard, you know. It's even I value a lot about my dancing myself. I mean, but sometimes, you know, if the people not really give me the good feedback, or I mean, people don't really like my style or something, maybe that it's not easy to just like only delete the myself. So I think that there's a reason we need to open up our mind and then collaborate with others. Yeah, at the same time, I mean, try to be face myself, and then I mean encourage. I mean myself. No need to be super negative about my own dancing, but at the same time, I mean we need to listen. We need to open up our mind, and then yeah, try to be, I mean, more open and inclusive, and share ideas with others, and try to follow some other styles. Even we don't really like it, but sometimes if you try to do something new, maybe that also help a lot. Can see more different style.
Yeah,
it can be changed. Our preference can be changed.
Exactly. Yeah. There's an advice that I think Mikey Petroza gave me years ago. It was the first time I went to Camp Hollywood, and we competed with Yaris, and we did our routine, or it was Strictly maybe. And afterwards he came, I didn't know him, and he came, he was like, oh, it was really nice. And then he's like, I can offer you like one piece of advice. And it was so simple. He's like, you should just look at each other more and less at the judges or the audience.
Yeah.
And it was something that, you know, at that time was quite new, because I thought, oh, we're in front of people. We have to look at the audience. We have to project everything. And then you lose this connection. And I remember it to this day. Like, I sometimes think of that. I have to connect to who am I dancing with, my partner, not the outside world necessarily. So sometimes those things really stick in your mind.
When I was just starting competing, maybe I just started with the swing out. But it's maybe I forgot who talked to me, but I remember that they said maybe you don't need to do swing out all the time. Maybe you could just listen to music, bounce, you know, no need to be hurry. Just listen music, enjoy, feel your partner. And then you can start, but not with the swing up. Maybe you can do something else. You don't need to. You just save some swing up for the time, really the energy you really have. And then you can just keep simple and hanging out a little bit. That's fine. You don't need to do many things. You don't need to show. Maybe it's a Tina, as I said, you don't need to show all your luxury links at the same time. You just need to one. Beautiful Ling.
Yeah.
At one time.
Oh, that's a great one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's next in your plans, travel wise or festival wise?
I don't think that I'm gonna have a Seoul Indie Fest this year, but I'd like to start again next year, or maybe end of this year. I'm still like considering having the Seoul Indie Fest or not. But anyway, I'll keep doing. And Authentic Jazz Weekend is the next year, it's 10th anniversary. So we already start to prepare the event and start discussion. Yeah. And traveling, I go to IHC, the New York in May. So hope you or many of your friends can come to the IHC. I want to support the event, and that's what I got a lot of inspirations. So, and also there are many friends in New York. So if there's no big things happen in my regular job, I will be in New York in May, and maybe I will slowly back to the teaching more, but not like the before, because I'm getting older, or not really old, but I have many things in the regular jobs. I need to make some balance, but I just keep teaching dancing more than before. I mean, the pandemic, I did really slow down, but I want to catch up.
Yeah. Well, I hope I can see you in LHC. My plan is to go there too. Very excited.
Yeah. Save some tenses.
Yeah.
Last tenses. Because we didn't have the chance to see it for 4 years. So
exactly. We need to catch up 4 years of dancing. Yeah. Thank you, Nala, so much for this chat. It was lovely to talk to you. Thank you for tuning in to What a Jazz Podcast. The episode was created together with the music of Dimitrio Papa, the visuals of Linda Vilnishkita, and the support from the Swinging Europe Network project. You can follow our updates and the new episodes on What a Jazz Facebook page. Take care, goodbye, and until next time.